So Amos, whose words we just heard read to us, lived a long, long time ago. We think that he spoke the words that we've just heard read in church this morning about 10 centuries ago, around 750 years before Jesus was born. And Amos lived in that bit of the world that we're seeing so much of in our news at the moment. He lived in Palestine, in Israel. He lived in the Holy Land, as we call it. And even back then, all those centuries ago, it was a place that knew all too well the threat and the reality of violence and of war. In Amos's time, his little nation, also called Israel, was under threat from its neighbours, who were much more powerful and who wanted to conquer it by military force. But Amos, in his prophecy, a little bit of which you just heard, says that it's also a nation that's under threat from within itself, a nation whose people are so bitterly divided among themselves that it doesn't have any chance of much of a future. You see, in Amos's country, in Israel of his day, there was a stark divide between the haves and the have-nots. Some people, a few people, lived in enormous wealth and comfort, while many people lived in grinding poverty. In Amos's Israel, there was a deep suspicion between the people. People were taught to be fearful and even to hate one another because of the differences between them. In Amos's Israel, religious practice was used as a cloak very often, a sort of a veneer to cover up the greedy and the wicked things that people did. Surely, so the thinking went, surely somebody who went faithfully every week to the temple and said their prayers couldn't be the sort of person who would exploit and oppress other people. And so it's to that division, that sort of brokenness, if you like, in the life of Israel, that Amos the prophet is speaking. Be careful about your prayers, Amos says, because God might actually ask you to be the answer to them. Be careful about praying for God's kingdom to come, because when God's kingdom does come, it might disrupt things a bit more than you feel comfortable with. In the passage that was read for us, Amos goes so far as to say that God would rather the people got rid of all their religious festivals and services and practices and displays, if only they would actually instead live out the basic principles of their faith: justice, mercy, kindness, generosity. We gather this morning on Remembrance Sunday in a world that's not so very unlike Amos's world or Amos's country. It's a broken world, broken by deep inequality, broken by the ways in which we human beings distrust and dislike and are suspicious of people who are different than us, broken by the threat and, as we know this morning, by the reality of war, a world broken by decades of building division and growing violence. A world that's broken by the ways in which we human beings sometimes hide our motives and our behavior behind a show of veneer of goodness. And we remember that brokenness today on Remembrance Sunday. We remember that sometimes putting an end to violence and division in our world requires the last and terrible resort of going to war. We remember especially that twice in the last century, the whole world was changed by two world wars that resulted in the loss of millions of lives. We honor the people who died in those wars, and we reflect in their memory on the world we live in today, which is still broken and still divided and still needing to be healed. And like Amos, we ask God to show us what it is that we can do, what we need to do, so that our faith actually influences and affects how we live and how we respond to the brokenness of God's beautiful world and all its amazing people. I want to tell you about a friend I remember, not just today. This is my friend Magda. It's a little picture of Magda, which I have on my desk at home. Magda was born in Hungary, and she was Jewish. And in the 1940s, she was caught up as a very young girl in the division and the hatred and the violence of the Nazis' persecution of all Jewish people. By a miracle, Magda survived that terrible experience. She had some time in Auschwitz and then in a factory making weapons for the German army. And she was rescued at the end of the war by American soldiers and devoted the rest of her life in gratitude to that experience. She devoted the rest of her life to sharing a message of peace and of reconciliation and of kindness. So I remember Magda today, who died just a couple of years ago, well into her 90s. I remember the people as well who went to war to save people like Magda from further violence and the world from more division. Like many of you, I remember members of my own family today too. I remember my two granddads, as we all remember someone. And we remember the people of this church, the members of this church who died in those wars as well, and we will name them just after our 11 o'clock silence this morning. So whoever you remember today, they are a part of God's remembering. God who holds and cherishes all of us in this life and in the life to come. God who sets before us today a vision of a world without division, or violence, or brokenness, or hate of any kind. A vision of a world healed of its brokenness. That's our hope today, and we'll explore that hope a little bit more together as we hear the words of Jesus after our silence at 11 o'clock. So as we prepare to keep silence together, I'll invite you just to think about the folks whom you remember today. I mentioned my grandfathers, one of whom was in the RAF and the other of whom was in the Home Guard, and both of whom had very different experiences of the war, some of which, I have to say, became the source of family legend. And I know that you will have people that you remember today and also want to hold in your hearts and in your minds particular places in our world where war is still a very present reality. We think especially, of course, of Gaza, the West Bank, and Israel. We think of Ukraine. We think of Yemen and Syria, places in our world, still riven and torn apart by war. So just hold those folks in your hearts and those places in your hearts. And then later in our service, during our prayers of intercession, we will have a chance to pray for the brokenness of our world today and for some measure of that same spirit of love and sacrifice that we cherish today as we seek to bring healing to God's world. We've been reflecting a little bit on the brokenness of the world that Amos talks about from 10 centuries ago and that we know something about from today as well. And there's a sort of a visual aid to this, which is that around the church are pieces of a puzzle, which is a puzzle of the world, a map of the world. And so I'm going to ask the Girls Brigade, if you don't mind, to go and retrieve from around the church the pieces of our broken world, and I want you to assemble them. There's only 50 of them, so hopefully it's not like a 1,000-piece puzzle. And it's a floor puzzle, so hopefully you'll be able to assemble them right here in front of the communion table. I'm going to keep talking for a bit while you do that, and if you haven't finished by the time we get to the prayers, we'll just pray over that as well, all right? Because I've no sense of how long this is going to take. So on the kneelers at the front of the church, and on the windowsills around the church, including, by the way, thank you for your beautiful Remembrance Sunday display that you have put together for us in the two windows here. You'll find the pieces of the puzzle. They're either on a windowsill or on I haven't hidden them. It's not like an Easter egg hunt. So if you would go and gather them and put them together in front of the church, that would be really, really wonderful as we think a bit about the brokenness of our world and the way in which we might be called upon to mend it and put it back together.
Yeah.
So ignore them for a minute and listen to me. That's what's happening. Okay. So in that gospel reading that we just heard, right at the end of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers some really difficult but hopeful advice about how to mend God's broken world. I can tell this isn't the first time they've done a jigsaw. And the answer to that question is really simple and really, really difficult. Jesus says, you have to be more like God. You see, God doesn't make any distinctions between any of us. We are all God's children, and we are all loved by God beyond measure. God gives to all of us, equally and alike, the things that we need for life. God loves all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what path we're on. It is a miracle at the heart of the Christian faith. God loves you, no matter what. And Jesus says that to mend a broken world, we have to experience that love of God for ourselves, and then to ask God for the strength to live that love out in our own lives. What mends a broken world? The love of God. A love which isn't just a love we show to people we like or who are like us. It's a love we show, as God shows, to all people, whoever they are, and whatever their circumstances, and even if they have sought our harm. Anyone can love the people who love them, Jesus says. God asks us to love everyone, just as God does. To help us in that task, God shows us. He comes to the world and he lives among us in Jesus. Now, there isn't time today to unpack what that means fully, but in Jesus, God shows us how, when we love as he loves, we also break all those patterns and spirals of hatred and violence that divide and break up the world in the first place. On the cross, above all, on the cross, God shows us the extent and the power of his love, the love which even lays down its life for others and for the healing of the world. Now, the root meaning of the word remember is literally about putting back together the things which have been broken apart. When we remember, we bring back into the present things that could have been forgotten, and we hold it all together as a whole with love. We make wholeness out of brokenness by holding the past and the present and the future all together lovingly and carefully. And God, in holding all of us, living and departed, together in his eternal love, is remembering us, holding us together out of our brokenness. As those who follow Jesus, we all have a part to play in this remembering, in this putting back together the brokenness of the world. There's an old Jewish fable that says that every one of us holds a little piece, a little fragment of the light that's needed to give life and hope to the world. And it's only when we all bring our little fragments of light and hope together that the world can be mended, can be healed, can be put back together. There's a Hebrew phrase for this, tikkun olam, which literally means the healing, the mending of the world. Don't worry about the missing piece, I'm coming to the missing piece. And that's the vision held out by Amos, the vision lived out by Jesus. That's the vision God still offers, and a vision which we have something to offer. We have a piece to place, a contribution to make to the mending of the world in the love of God. Who's going to come and put the final piece in for us? Come on, you come and do it. It's your front.
Show us all how to offer the piece that we have to offer
to mend the world. Thank you so much. Perfect timing as well. Well done. Tikkun Olam, the mending, the healing of the world, the vision held out by Amos and lived out by Jesus, the vision that God offers us and encourages us to know that we have a part to play, a piece to place in the healing and the mending of the world. And so I think the challenge to us as we remember today, as we remember with love those who have laid down their lives for their country, as we remember the witness of Amos and the message of Jesus, the challenge for us is, as we carry on our lives in the world as we know it and as we experience it today, will we bring our peace? Will we play our part? Will we offer our little bit of love, that God's love through us might triumph over the world's darkness and might mend the world's brokenness?